Between the time when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of. And on to this, Conan, destined to bear the jeweled crown of Aquilonia upon a troubled brow. It is I, his chronicler, who alone can tell thee of his saga. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Welcome to the nightclub, where we are the ones who know the riddle of steel. I'm one of your hosts, Kram. Well, tonight I am your god, Travis Maxwell Boone. Yes, yes indeed. And I'm joined by my dead and lovely Boyka Boy.
The four winds.
He is greater than the Mountain King. He is the sky. Oh, yes. That makes me think of some fucking Audio Slave lyrics. And woo! This is his first official episode as an official co-host. We've got the motherfucking man over there, cud. It's Boss Tuda. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. I love hockey.
On this week's episode of the Joe Blow Horror Show, we're going to be talking about a movie called Conan the Barbarian. It's enough. Cole's going to hear this shit and be like, what the fuck?
He's going to be like, why do I still talk to those guys?
It was bad enough with the Cajuns. Now he's got to deal with this other Minnesota asshole.
Yeah.
That's right. The machine.
Minnesota asshole.
The machine just called you an asshole.
Sugar buns.
Come here. Come over here, sugar buns.
So what you're telling me is that you're the machine. Okay.
I will break him. I'm referencing a whole other. That's not even the right thing.
No, it's not.
That's Rocky. Okay. It's Rocky IV for anyone out there who don't know what the fuck. And I'm doing it wrong. he calls Stallone a machine, by the way, in that film. But we're not talking about Stallone tonight. Fuck him. We're doing a goddamn Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. And last time Grindhouse was on here for, well, when he got indoctrinated, that was our first coverage of a Stephen King film. This is our first coverage of an Arnold film. So we're just hitting new strides with you here, cuz.
Yeah.
And it's a Ricky pick, by the way, this film, this trip that we're going to take to a place we haven't been in quite a while. The last time we went to the Tavern of the Setting Sun, or the Tavern of the House of the Setting Sun.
Tavern in the House of the, yeah, some shit.
Yeah,
deep in the dungeons of Castle Moonskull.
That's my eerie little ghost sound effect. Yeah, the last time we were here was like fucking last year, and we did two episodes kind of close in succession. I'd like to bring this back around where we do venture over to Castle Moonskull and do some fucking awesome sword and sorcery reviews. If anyone out there listening hasn't checked it out, we have two sword and sorcery episodes. One is called Voltan Your Hide, and the other is called Alligator Hive.
Mm-hmm.
That almost rhymes to a degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought you did that on purpose.
No, I didn't. Alligators be Voltan in your hide, cuz. Those were super fun. But tonight we got something. Okay, the premise for doing sword and sorcery on the nightclub, which is mostly horror centric, again, this is for listeners who don't know, is that I had watched a film called Hawk the Slayer, and I'm like, oh, this is like bad, cheesy horror movies, but it's fantasy, it's sword and sorcery. It was so much fun, we decided to cross streams with that genre. What we have tonight, I don't think would fall in the category of cheesy, spoofy.
There's some 80s schlock here and there, I'd say, but yeah, it's not the same caliber.
Point out the 80s schlock when we get to it, because I mean, okay, I guess we'll kind of get into this part of it. Surprise, surprise to any listeners. This is a first time watch for me. Hadn't ever seen Conan before. I saw the beginning of the film years ago on TV, and I didn't realize that until I had started watching the movie. Right at the beginning, he's pushing the wheel and all that shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I might have seen this before. But I had not. After that scene, I was completely... It was all new and all fresh. So I going in, I had no idea what to expect other than people on here know that Ricky and I love the Northman. And he told me, get ready for Conan. Because, yeah. And I watched it. I watched it. So, Ricky, you grew up with it, right? I mean, this is like...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, big time. Yeah, this was on TV all the time when I was a kid, and I was always fascinated by James Earl Jones and his super snake man powers, and Conan with his crazy pecs and biceps and his Valkyrie girlfriend and just the whole thing, all of it.
Arnold was definitely in shape to make this shit, man.
He had to lean up to make this, to be able to make this play this role. He had to slim down. Oh. He was too fucking big to be able to do the type of stuff they wanted him to do with the sword, like when he's like spinning it and shit. Mm-hmm. His fucking pecs and biceps would get in the fucking way and he couldn't do it. So he had to do 18 months of training or some shit to like slim down a little bit, and like he did like some martial arts and other shit like that. But yeah,
I picture him like just when he's like carving out, like got to get the carbs in, he's just fucking munching down double stuffed Oreos and shit. Nah, yeah. He's the best. Fucking, you got the, you know, okay, he is double stuffed in this movie. That's all I'm saying. This movie is double stuffed with him.
He's so big, bro. God damn.
Grindhouse.
He's a specimen. There's no lie.
He's got a thorax to die for. That specimen.
Thorax?
Yeah. Grindhouse.
Thorax!
When did you first see this movie?
The first time was probably about 10 years old, something like that. And at the time, I loved it because it was mostly swords and boobs, which is like awesome stuff. So I watched this movie again so we could talk about it. And I think I have like 9 pages of notes.
Holy shit.
And this is going to hurt y'all's feelings, but I hated this movie. I hated it. I'm sorry. You know, y'all my brothers, I get that, but this movie was so flat and so fucking boring. Like, the last 15 minutes of this movie, or maybe 20 minutes, is like just full on go. Just go, 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 go. But so much of this movie is like, it's him walking or running, or riding a horse, or riding a camel. There are so many scenes in this movie that are drawn out way too fucking long, just way too fucking long. And like, even when he has his love scenes and things like that, he doesn't say a fucking word. I counted. It was like, I think it was 37 minutes of him either walking, riding a horse, running, or riding a camel.
And you know why those scenes, you know why I forgive those scenes? The score.
I think the score really does work in this movie.
I think I agree with you. There was some score, and there was definitely some background stuff where they had the scenery just right, but there were so many scenes where it was like he was just doing the same thing over and over and over again, and it was just like...
I do get what you're saying. They were excessive.
I've got that in my notes too. It's interesting to me that you have 9 pages of notes for a movie that you did not like. That's awesome. He did his fucking homework, son. This movie has a plethora of fucking. I was gonna compile like a list of good trivia, and I've got some, but there is so much on this movie.
Yeah,
it's astronomical. Like, you can write books about this movie based on the information that's out there. So this is not going to be a super heavy information dump on my part. This will be kind of just more a pure, I never saw this before. I saw it tonight. Let's talk about it. Well, not tonight, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I've said it before. It's like when you guys suggest a movie to me, I watch it. Okay. I'm going to do that because I respect y'all. So like, as far as the 9 pages of notes go, yeah, it's like fucking Rickle suggested this. So it's like, I'm going to watch it and I'm going to give it its due cause. I'm going to give it its due cause. But for me as a person, fundamentally, this was not a good film.
These are final thoughts presented at the beginning of the show by Grindhouse.
No. I'm trying to temper my thoughts in this movie, like early on. So when people hear what I'm saying, it's like, oh yeah, because he kind of thought it sucked anyway. I mean,
even at 10 years old, this wasn't like the shit.
No, at 10 years old, it was great.
Yeah,
because it had swords and boobs.
And well, you had never seen it since then?
No, I hadn't.
Oh.
At 48 years old, it's like probably the thing that bugged me the most is like there were so many scenes of him walking. Okay, mm-hmm. Whether he's walking to be enslaved, whether he's walking around the wheel. Which they never did explain what that wheel was doing. What was that wheel doing?
I don't know. I've got that.
Was it grinding coffee? Was it grinding human bones? Was it like, and he spent like 20 fucking years pushing that wheel. Yeah. What? What? Like, I don't even like get it. Like, why?
Dude, it's the wheel of pain, bro.
It's the fucking, it's the cosmic indifference. They just had him pushing a fucking wheel for no goddamn reason. They didn't care.
That is it, bro. That's how they break you.
Is that that's it, well, right?
But maybe yeah,
that's how they break.
That is the conclusion I came to when they never explained it. I'm like, unless you have to be a purist and have read the comics and stuff or whatever the books that Robert Howard wrote, I'm like, as far as I can tell, this is just a punishment. It's just a punishment for existing. So it's the wheel. It's the wheel, man. Like, I don't know. Well, like, I get metaphorical with this movie a little bit.
Great. Okay, great. But then, like, just existing in and of itself is its own punishment. So, like, why take it further? I think we talked about this before, and it's like being a spoke on a wheel. And he was literally one spoke on a wheel that he pushed. We talked about it before. You were really hard on one of the Friday the 13th movies where you said, and I quote, "I don't want to watch a bitch making coffee for 20 minutes." In this movie, this guy pushed that fucking wheel for 20 fucking years.
I was gonna say, I want to admire the set and the costumes, the scenery, the cinematography, the score. I'd rather watch Conan push that wheel in this movie than watch that bitch make coffee. I'm just saying, it's a lot more interesting.
Agreed. Same.
Even when they're marching him as a kid, I was even looking at how they had the shit tied around their necks. I was sitting there contemplating what's going on in those kids' minds. Like, I was wondering
how many of those kids died just on the journey to the wheels.
I think some of the imagery. I'm gonna agree with you. I will agree, and you'll see when we get into it. Yeah. The running is excessive, and it becomes comical eventually.
Yeah,
it does.
So I kind of turned around on it. To be honest with you, but Okay, all right. So I think we should probably burp into the mic and get everyone ready for this shit. Okay, we're all here at Castle Moonskull. The setting is right. It's medieval fucking imagery all throughout this movie and
caveman shit.
It's time. It's fucking time. This is our medieval midnight ritual tonight, folks. If you have not seen Conan the Barbarian, it's time to punch a fucking camel. It's time to turn into a goddamn snake, and it's time to have your fucking enemies driven before you and hear the lamentations of the women.
Yes.
And if you have not seen this movie, don't cry because you're a Sumerian. Sabbatai will cry for you.
Yes, he will.
Look. See what's me, your friends?
Hey.
old fat Hamlet ruins it.
Conan the Barbarian is a 1982 American epic sword and sorcery film directed by John Milius and written by Milius and Oliver fucking Stone.
Platoon, boy.
Chew Talk Radio, cut. Natural Born Killers, let's just blow Oliver Stone all night now.
Yeah.
Based on the works of Robert E. Howard, which we've mentioned before, this motherfucker was pen pals with Lovecraft, so cosmic. I've got a term for this movie, brutal cosmicism, by the way. That's hashtag, and I've been hashtagging that shit on the socials. Follow us on Instagram, / your Facebook, blah, blah, blah. The film stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and James Earl Jones and tells the story of a barbarian warrior named Conan who seeks vengeance for the death of his parents at the hands of Thulsa Doom, the leader of a snake cult. So, barbarian versus snake magic, man.
This cult is set.
Yeah, bruh. The film earned Schwarzenegger worldwide recognition, and in order to do this role, he went through weapons training, martial arts training, horseback riding lessons. He was using an 11-pound broadsword 2 hours a day for 3 months, and each of those cost $10,000 a piece.
God damn.
Because of the design and how they like they looked weathered and shit.
Oh, yeah. The swords. Yep.
He learned climbing techniques. He learned how to fall and roll and jump from 15 feet in the air. He
got acting lessons from James Earl Jones and other fucking guy.
Max von Sydow. Yeah, man. Yeah. King Osric.
Osric. King Osric a lot. Oh, he learned good English, too, because he didn't speak good English at first.
which is why he had, 27 lines.
Right, which is why most of his dialogue is,
or laughing.
He laughed all the way to the bank, because, I mean, this movie broke him out, and he calls this film God's gift to his career.
I believe it.
This film stars Arnold Schwarzenegger as Conan, as mentioned, and James Earl Jones as Thulsa Doom, but also Max von Sydow as King Osric, Sandahl Bergman as Valeria, who was a mishmash of different characters from Robert E. Howard stories. Mishmashing. And Jerry Lopez as Subutai. And, of course, motherfucking Mako as the Wizard of the Mounds. I don't know if that's his official title, but that's what I'm calling him. A little bit of trivia I got from this, because like I said, this movie, you could talk about this for fucking three podcasts, all right? We don't have time. But in an interview, John Milius said that the dogs that they used in the film were actually very unfriendly and dangerous. He said that when the dogs were chasing Arnold and he's running, he's actually running because he knows that they're fucking vicious. They had earlier that day, they had attacked their trainer. So they're unruly as fuck dogs, man. Real arrows were shot into that giant fucking snake right over Arnold's head. And they were shot by none other than the director himself after it was determined that he was the best archer in the entire crew.
Oh, crap.
Leave it to the fucking director to always be the one that's going to take those fucking risks, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, Sandahl got her finger nearly cut off, too, during some of the fight choreography.
She was badass, too.
Fuck yeah, bro.
At around the 48-minute mark, stuntman Terry Lennard, he was dropped, the one that was dropped down the well by Valeria.
Yeah.
He fell into a pile of empty cardboard boxes to avoid injury, but he still broke his leg. Empty cardboard boxes equals right, safe.
That's kind of silly.
Fucking how? Like, come the fuck on, dude.
Another cool fact about Sandahl Bergman. They couldn't find a stunt woman to match her physique and her look well enough. So she did all her own stunts. They were just like, yeah, do it. She was like, okay, hell yeah.
Arnold did most of his as well.
Yep.
Because they couldn't find someone to match him.
Right.
They were both fucking how many doing
Arnolds?
That shit.
How many Arnolds you got walking around?
I know, bro. Both of them were uncomfortable doing their love scene, by the way. Right. So they were both like, this is awkward. I don't like it. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't speak the English, but my penis is hard. What do I do? Yeah.
Every time I'm in the boner. Gym, I get that. I was gonna say, every the time I'm in boner. The gym, I get the feeling of coming.
Yeah,
I'm coming all the time, man.
It's as satisfying to me as coming is, you know, as having sex with a woman and coming. And so, can you believe how much I am in heaven? I'm like getting the feeling of coming in the gym. I'm getting the feeling of coming at home. I'm getting the feeling of coming backstage when I pump up, when I pose out in front of 5,000 people. I get the same feeling. So I'm coming day and night. I mean, it's terrific, right? So, you know, I'm in heaven.
There's your episode title, The Awkward Boner, right there. Just hashtag awkward boner.
Brutal yeah, cosmic boner.
Yeah. While watching this movie. Conan the Barbarian has been frequently released on home video, and the sales of which have increased the film's gross to, as of 2007, so this is dated, but this is the trivia I found, $300 million. So just to say, a movie from the early 80s that had a budget of, I don't know, I didn't look it up, nightclub, it ended up, I mean, it's got to be over $300 million at this point. It's got to be like $5 billion. Right, $5 billion.
Oh, the triple D's brought this all the way home. They absolutely brought it all the way home.
The triple D's,
yeah. Dungeons and Dragons douchebags. They brought this all the way home.
Yeah, hey, what the fuck?
I'm just saying.
It is what it is. And he's fired.
Read your contract, bitch. Yeah.
I'm looking over it with a magnifying glass. Trust me.
The new employee handbook is coming out tomorrow, and you are not going to be happy.
You better not fucking shit. You better not drug test me. You better not.
Drug test, random drug test, no visible tattoos. Like, yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I gotta wear clothes.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Oh shit.
Well, like clothes is like I thought that was like the first thing. Like, gotta not walk around with my penis flopping around. That's like step one. It's quite a zombie incorporated. You gotta like fucking do your part. If you don't do your part, you're out.
Me showing up with a six pack and my hard ass nipples is my part, son. All right, my nipples are hard for this movie. All right.
Oh yeah.
Plus, it's rather chilly in here, which I love. Yeah. let's dive into this shit that I never fucking saw before. I'm ready to do it.
Let's dive in. Let's go. Take us home.
The film opens with a wizard recalling an age undreamed of. He is the chronicler of Conan the Barbarian. After our title card, there is much smelting, sword smelting, and blacksmithing, which is appropriate because amongst the village where a young Conan lives, his father is a talented blacksmith. And I really love this scene where he's telling Conan about their god, Krum, who sold Krum.
Krum.
Oh, okay.
Krum.
Yeah. You've been calling him Krum, really? He's Krum.
That's what it sounds like to me when I hear them say it.
C-R-O-M.
That's because he's like Krum.
Learn to spell, you backwards motherfuckers. C-R-O-M. Krum.
I didn't. I wasn't watching it with subtitles. I don't know. It sounded like Krum, even when his dad said it. Your god is Krum. Anyway, I'm going to keep saying it the way I want. He stole the secret of steel from the other gods and advises him that in this world, he cannot trust man, woman, nor beast. The only thing he can trust is steel. What is the riddle of steel, man?
You can trust.
What is it? Because they never tell you. Well,
I can't tell you. You got to find that's your own journey. You've got to find out on your own, bro. I know Brom's gonna want to know.
Like he's he's gonna be
otherwise,
like.
Otherwise, hey. He's gonna laugh you all the way out of Valhalla.
I picture that fucking skeleton just purr, coughing bone dust and shit. While Conan's village goes through the motions of another wintry day, a troop of warriors on horseback ride through and begin slaughtering everyone.
Oh yeah,
they burst in through the fucking like the huts and the horses are like, arr! The people are screaming, shit's getting set on fucking fire. I'm like, goddamn movie, all of this.
And Conan's dad gets it the worst.
He fights like valiantly and like killing like horse riding motherfuckers left and right. But yeah, he eventually gets fucking knocked down and
he smokes everybody. Like the rest of the Sumerians are like not good fighters. Mm-mm. They're just not. They're like,
yeah,
I have
like
a sword and
right.
Knights kind of like fall down and he's like just fighting like tooth and nail, just going. But then it gets like the dogs get on him.
He gets fucking ripped apart by dogs. I mean, damn, dude. And this part I loved. Conan and his mom are the only survivors left in the village, as far as I can tell. And she picks up a sword and she's holding it in front of her and holding his hand. Like, get the. And you see the wild, frantic look in her eyes of utter fear and like, I will. No, like, don't come near me and my son. These warriors get off their horses and they start passing a sword around forever.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on? then motherfucking
some kind of weird ritual.
Oh yeah. It's like, are you gonna do it? Are you oh yeah, right. You do it. No.
It was one more walking / running / mm-hmm. riding a horse / riding a camel scene.
Right.
Let's just drag it out forever.
They eventually give it to James Earl fucking Jones, who shows up. That's goddamn Thulsa Doom, which you don't know him at this point in the movie yet as that, but this entire scene is without any dialogue, and I will say right now, the entire scene is so beautifully shot.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is with a purpose. The score is just nailing it. Everything, every aspect of this scene nails something that, like, I was in awe of it.
He slowly, like you said, all with no dialogue.
No dialogue. Yeah. Well, he approaches her, and he kind of looks at her, and he's got these weird blue eyes. I don't know what the hell's going on with his eyes. But he calmly and swiftly decapitates Conan's mother right in front of him.
Oh, he like, charms her. Like, he, like, gets her to put the sword down.
Yep.
That was part of his magic, eh?
And except, right. Right, and accept her fate.
Yeah, it does like a hypnosis thing. Like,
right,
and that's
right.
What he does.
He like hypnotizes.
Yep.
He does it. He tries. He does it again later. He attempts to do it on Conan.
Yeah,
I love that the shot that got me was that he was still holding his mother's hand as her head mm-hmm. fell. Then her body let go. Her hand let go of his,
just looking at his hand.
It's operatic poetry without words. I mean, this is beautiful. It's terrible, but
it's great. Beautiful. It's great imagery, though. It's great imagery. Watching that kid watching the hand fall out of mom, like his mom, him and his mom, they're holding hands, and her hand slips away.
Right.
And it's like as she's going down, and he's just, and his hand is still up. And he's just like, he's kind of looking like he knows what happened, but he doesn't quite know what happened. I mean, yeah, no, it's beautiful.
That's what led me into the next scene where you're talking about. This is the first instance of gratuitous walking in the film. But I was captured by the previous scene. So in my mind, I'm visualizing all this and trying to understand it through his perspective of my mom just got fucking decapitated. My dad just got killed. Everyone I know just got killed. And now I'm marching like. They take Conan along with many other children who could have been from that village or other villages that they've pillaged as slaves, and they bring him to some place with a big ass wheel that they just endlessly push. The rest of his childhood is here, his teenage years are here, and I assume he's in the movie. I would say he's probably in his early 20s. Yeah, I would just guess. But he's grown stronger and fucking angrier. Like,
which is really strange that he grew so big on a slave's diet.
Well, I don't know what they were feeding him. I mean, honestly, well, they
might have been feeding him good. I don't know.
They might have. I mean, it's like, we got to get this motherfucker to push this wheel for no reason. Real good. Right. Better push that real good.
Push it real good.
Push it real good, Conan.
What was the wheel doing?
Nothing.
What was it doing?
Nothing.
Well, there had breaking to be something. Him. But, like, breaking what him. Was...
That's the purpose of the Wheel of Pain, is just to break slaves.
Seriously. I love it.
That's the purpose.
So it does nothing. It does nothing.
It does nothing.
Okay. Well, yeah. welcome to real life, Conan. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So when I was interpreting the wheel, to me, it's a metaphor for life. You, like you said, that we've discussed this. You're just a spoke on a wheel. That's the metaphor, man. You're just a spoke on a wheel in this life, and it's meaningless. It's just meaningless bullshit. Unless you're fucking Conan, and you, one fateful day, you get brought to a fighting pit where you face off against some other crazy badass with sharp teeth and armor.
Yeah.
And you get all of the best Arnold noises of all time.
In the world, yeah.
Oh, and there are so many moments in that fucking fighting pit where, like, there's a moment where, like, he looks like Blade from Puppet Master, where he has, like, the double blades on the end of his hand.
Yeah.
He has those double symbols. But there's also a moment where he looks like fucking Wolverine. Mm-hmm. You guys catch that? Where he's like, he's just like, I mean, there are so many things that came out of that fighting pit / growing up / I'm going to be a gladiator thing. But, like, there's moments that are, like, kind of awesome and kind of connected everywhere.
Oh,
I love that.
After, like, he has a brief struggle with that first guy, I guess, because he didn't know what he was getting himself into. But yeah. Then he quickly realizes, oh, I gotta kill this motherfucker. He's like, nah, nah, nah. And he fucking bashes his head into the fucking wall. And challenger after challenger is put before him. And you got fucking Mako narrating over this whole thing.
Yes.
He's just, he's there. And he's winning. And he's taking in the rush of the crowd that's cheering him on. He found meaning in his life. Right.
Well, no, he totally did, but there's also a spot there where he starts pulling the scrolls out, and when he's pulling the scrolls, he's learning to read.
Yeah,
what he's doing. Well, that was, like, such a prophetic moment for me. It's like he's trying to understand the language of the people and, mm-hmm. like, trying to know what's going on, and, like, that was, for me, that was, like, so huge, because it's such a thing that, like, people don't really have a, like, a firm grasp on these days.
Well, it's the warrior poet thing too. It's the art of war. He gets brought, they say in the film, he gets brought to the east, and he's mm-hmm. trained in swordsmanship, to which he is adept, and you see him training, and he looks swift in his movements, and he also becomes literate, like you're saying. He learns, he's given poetry, he's giving stories to read, he's becoming educated, and best of all, he is given the women.
Yeah.
That he breeds. He reads and he breeds.
He reads and breeds, bro.
Conan.
Well, that's the whole thing. He's turned into fucking breeding stock, though. Like, that's his thing. It's like he's turned into that, like, that prized bull or that prized horse or whatever else, where he's just like, come on in, baby. It's time to get some sugar from daddy, because it's like, you know, you're going to love it later. But then it's like he tries to be, there's a moment where he tries to be a little bit like, come on in, and he puts the coat over
her.
When he
puts the fur over her, yeah.
I interpreted that as the first time that he ever actually had sex, because...
Which it probably was.
I think it was. He almost didn't know what to do, it seemed. He comforted her, he brought her over there, then it's like while there, he was looking at her naked body, and he realized, like, it started, he got that awkward boner, and he was like, oh, I've got to have sex, yes! And,
well, yeah, definitely. But at the same time, he was also trying to preserve some of her modesty.
Exactly.
You know?
When I first
that's something that stuck out with me too. I'm like, yeah, he a savage, but he classy too.
Yeah, he's a classy savage, man.
Classy savage.
He's
very stoic too.
I was because he can't speak. I was expecting him to turn towards everyone that was watching and be like, get out of here.
Yeah.
But he didn't say that, because at this point in the film, Conan hasn't had a single line of dialogue, not until the next scene. And in the next scene, he's sitting there amongst several of the Eastern warlords. Right. And they learn that they just won another victory, and they're, you know, they're enthusiastic about it. And
I fear my son will never understand me.
What was up with that line? That came out of nowhere, and I couldn't even tell who was saying it. No, I was just like, what the fuck? Someone was having a fucking daddy crisis.
Right.
when asked what is best in life, without hesitation, Conan says,
to crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of their women. That is good. That is good.
Later that night, his caretaker, who's had him since he was a kid, basically, the one who pushed him into the fighting pit, decides to break his chains and set him free. I didn't question it, but I was also like, that's an odd choice to make at this point, but okay.
Right. Just to interject real quick, the kid that they got to play Baby Conan, he looks a lot like Arnold.
He's got the teeth.
He's got like the same shape in his like face stuffs. So yeah.
I saw the teeth. I was like, whoa, how'd y'all manage that?
That poor Austrian orphan.
Right.
They shot him right after he was done working.
Oh no.
Probably. Yeah.
And fed him to those,
well, why not?
They fed him to the dogs that are gonna be chasing Conan down now. Well, these are wolves to me. This is your first running wolves. They're wild dogs.
Those are wolves. They're wild dogs.
I'm not doing it. Not for them.
No.
Wild dogs. This is the first scene of running, but it has a purpose. He's running from wolves. And it's like through this barren landscape, and he finds refuge inside of some rock formation and discovers a lot of ancient skeletons and artifacts. This scene started bringing the mysticism. It started really crafting this world for me. And it is also here that he finds Crom himself. I'll say it for y'all. The skeleton of Crom.
Well, I think he just found a skeleton. I don't know if that's necessarily Crom.
He says Crom.
I think he says Crom because the way I interpret this scene, he's in a bind, right? He's about to get it by some damn dogs. So he sees this. He gets this sword. The skeleton literally bows it to him as if to say, here you go, bud.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Crom. You're taking care of me. Which is strange, because later he's like, I do not pray to Crom. He does not listen. But it seems to me like Crom's taking care of you, punk ass.
Yeah. Well, I interpreted it as it was Crom, because his dad tells him that, you know, he
Crom
died.
Crom into the earth.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, it's Crom. And that's the way I want to look at it. And that he has Crom's fucking sword now. He breaks all the patina off, which you never want to do for resale value. And he it's a magnificent sword.
Yeah, it is, bro.
Yeah. I thought in this scene, because the skeleton started to move, even the hand of it moved, I thought this was going to be right out of The Northman. I was like, well, which it would have been right out of this movie for The Northman to do it. Yeah. But I was like, oh, fuck, are we about to have a skeleton fight?
The old skeleton falling down trope.
Yeah.
He fucking, you know what happens next. Conan arrives at a witch's hut, and he's sporting wolf skin, because he went out there and he slaughtered that entire fucking pack, bro.
But first he had to give those wolves the bedroom eyes.
Yep. And he's like, come on in and warm yourself. Just warm yourself. Yeah.
They had to warm themselves on his fire first before he went to the witch.
Then the witch.
Yeah, yeah.
My first line, smoking hot.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I think she might have been. Like. I think she might have been schizophrenic. I'm just saying.
She was definitely on that ergot kud. This witch offers him her warmth and fire,
Yeah, she does.
And in a in an awkward, I'm gonna crawl all over the fucking room scene.
Yeah.
In exchange for sex, she's gonna tell him where he can find what he's looking for, the two snakes that he remembers from the day he lost his parents.
Right. Seems fair.
Seems fair.
Yeah.
Sure.
Her sex noises are fucking atrocious.
Yeah.
They're atrocious. Yeah.
Oh. Like what?
I don't even remember the name of the city. She tells him a city like Moria. Oh yeah. And I'm like, ugh.
at the same time though, if you got Arnold Schwarzenegger on top of you, I don't think you can like put a lot of stock in what any woman might do in that place. Like,
but dude,
the noises you might make.
My awkward boner became a jelly boner during that scene. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, it was like, why are you making these sounds, bitch?
Oh, I don't know. When he's humping that chicken, like things turn into blue fire. It's like, yeah, I think I might get this.
Okay. I think she's just mentally ill. Well, I mean,
or she's possessed by the Necronomicon, eh, Rick?
Yeah, or she's a Kandarian demon.
Oh, there you go.
Which happens with the blue light and everything. Yep.
So this is like the Evil Dead prequel. Okay.
Yeah.
I, you know what? I'm okay with that.
Dude, like when all the fucking shit starts like catching fire and everything and the light turns blue and she's like, one by one, we will take... No, she doesn't say that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But she totally goes full Deadeye and he just throws that bitch in the fire.
Fuck
her. Well, I'll tell you what, if just by the function of getting me laid, I can change the color of fire in the room, I'm all over that. That's absolutely awesome. Yep. Yeah. And then he tosses that bitch in the fire and he's just like, eh. And he's like, nope. She's nuts. I'm off. I go. Yep.
Okay. And she flies away into a little spooky magic loop.
And that's the worst part. It's like, I burned this bitch and it's like, nope. And she's just gone. She's like, gotta go. And she just off. Like, that was a waste.
She's like, I'll be back to ruin your life later.
Which is dematerializing, cuz.
Yeah, they do.
It's after this that Conan meets the thief Sabotai on his journey, and they speak of their gods. Krom, Conan's god, once in the afterlife, like Ricky said earlier, he's going to ask all his followers, what is the Riddle of Steel? And if you don't fucking know, he just laughs at you and fucking casts you out of Valhalla. So, yeah. Fuck you, basically. But Sabotai, he says that his god is the Four Winds and is stronger than Conan's god. Conan's god lives in the mountains. He lives in the earth. But the Four Winds is the everlasting sky under which Krom lives. And they both have like, this is an example. I was watching this scene and I'm like, this is an example of how people who of different beliefs can talk. And even maybe kind of like talk down on each other or their beliefs, but still just kind of like around a fire, eating some meat, just fucking getting along. Like, yeah, we can agree to disagree on our ideas, but at the same time, we're buds now. We're buds. Yeah. They bond over that, man. That's what's up. That's more important than your little fucking fake ass gods. After they bond, Conan and Sabotai run and run. Mm. And run,
yeah, and run do.
A lot through beautiful landscapes to an amazing score until they find civilization. And Conan's like, let us waste no time. He wants to go see it. He's never seen the city.
No.
Right.
And then when they go in the city, they eat and they eat and they eat. They're just constantly walking around eating something. And
lizards.
Nibbling.
Some guy gives them drugs.
He ate a whole thing of lizards.
They're asking people about the two snakes. They see pigs getting driven up some streets. I mean, I saw so many pigs, man. I thought of Daim at that moment. I was like, if he saw this scene, he'd be like, no.
Well, that moment where they were like, they passed by all the women, and it's like, they're evil. And he's like, are they evil or are they just sluts?
I like that. Like, he calls them. He's like, you're all sluts.
Yeah.
They do find some guy who's like willing to give him a little bit of information, and he also sells him drugs, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, and they freak out, and Conan punches a camel.
He one punches that camel, dude.
Yeah.
He fucking He punches that camel and the camel goes down. Yeah, and I'm just like, God damn. Context for the listeners. They're on drugs. They're telling off whores. Conan's laughing. He doesn't see and he bumps into a camel. He just turns around and out of instinct punches the fucking shit out of it. And the camel just goes like, it kind of like stumbles a little bit and then it falls completely over. People come out of the tent and they're just looking at him. And I'm like,
right. Like, did you just punch my camel?
Yeah.
This is a red state.
I have the right to kill you now.
And they skedaddle. They're like, uh-oh. Yeah, this ain't good. They're like,
want that trouble.
They're like, we don't need trouble. So they roll.
That's
when Subutai tells him something about how he's too big to be a thief or some shit.
Yeah, because I was gonna say they did establish their roles here. Subutai is definitely the thief. Conan is definitely, as the title suggests, the barbarian. You gotta one punch a camel.
Right.
Just knock it the fuck out, dude. God damn. They did learn about the tower there, that snake tower, and of the infamous jewel there within the eye of the serpent, which is a treasured possession of Thulsa Doom. So Conan and Subutai, what are they going to do? Attempt to break into the fucking tower. And along the way, they meet a deadly but beautiful woman named Valeria. She helps him scale the tower. I like her. How are you going to do it without a rope?
Right.
And I'm like, well, there's more than just a rope, bitch. Like, you got to have a fucking hook. And she's like, oh, guess what, bitch? I'm going to show y'all how to fucking climb. Except for Conan. He uses his fucking, I don't know what you call them, scaling mechanisms. He climbs it by himself.
Like some Titans.
I don't know the term. I don't know. I'm not a mountain climber. I don't know the term. Is that what that is?
I think like
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're called Pythons or something. I don't know. Some Pythons.
Some Pythons, good. They climb that tower. They go inside of there. And I tell you now, they got different layers to that structure.
And they see that snake and they say, man, cook some rice.
Man, we're going to be eating all night, yeah. We need to invite our partners.
Y'all make a pass. We cooking the snake.
We cooking that big animatronic. Come get some. They get to the top of the tower and they climb down some ropes from the top. That there's multiple layers inside of this thing. Valeria infiltrates a death ceremony disguised as a priestess, while Conan and Subutai go into the lower layer, where they find the eye of the serpent. And they find a giant fucking snake. Like, we're talking anaconda eat your heart out giant. Like, this thing is huge, man. But it's sleeping. It's a sleeping snake.
He's a sleepy boy.
And Conan proves his fucking worth here. He is a thief. He sneakily gets the jewel away without waking up the snake. It's not until he notices that fucking talisman on the wall and breaks it off or whatever that the snake's like, the fuck? Above him, in the ceremony chamber, some woman, jumps into the snake's pit, but she only finds it bleeding and writhing with its head chopped off because Conan and Subutai fucking attacked the shit out of this goddamn snake, dude. This part was epic.
Yeah, they rolled nothing but 20s.
Dude, Conan stabs it through the head.
Through the head, right. And then Subutai nails it to the wall with his arrows and Conan cuts his head off. And the effect, like, the effects are dated, but, like, dude, like, they still look great.
They look great. Like, that. Yeah. I'd rather see that than the CGI snake. I don't want to see the CGI snake. I want to see that. That scene was awesome.
Hell yeah. The flapping it does after and all that is so rad.
That's one of the parts of this movie that I thought was, honestly, like, super, super spectacular.
Hell yeah, man.
The practical physical effects in this movie were fantastic.
Above them, Valeria, she's like, they start climbing the ropes out. And Valeria stops someone, because she's disguised at this point, from shooting them with an arrow. She fucking ties the rope that's hanging down from the top of the tower around this guy's neck and shoves him off the ledge. It hangs him, and she catches the rope as he's going down and fucking rockets up to the top. And she gives out her, I guess it's her catchphrase, like, do you want to live forever?
Right.
Yeah, because they look down and there's like this little way at the bottom of this tall tower is a little pool of water, and they all jump off the top of the tower. So, you know.
Did no one else get the little Starship Troopers thing out of that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to live forever? I surely did. Okay.
You apes want to live forever?
Yep. Yep. Right there.
After some celebrating, during which Conan gives the Eye of the Serpent, that infamous jewel, to Valeria.
With the nice little red sparkle.
Well, I think he gives her something else too.
He gives her another type of snake, that bedhead rib rattler, cuz he gives her that shit. Oh yeah. And they keep partying though. They're drinking, they're just
they party, bro.
Until they're summoned by King Osric.
Bro, when his head fell in his soup or his porridge or whatever.
Yeah. And I was like Conan, don't drown.
And she tried to look like she could fight, but they were like, no, you can't. They're like, you can't fight right now. You're all pie-odd. Your boyfriend's in his soup.
they get brought in front of Osric, and he's like, I thought you had a third companion. And it was like, oh no, he died in jumping into that pool. And then they bring Sabotai in right away. And he plays it like y'all fucking broke in there, did all this shit, and I couldn't be fucking happier. Basically, he's right. Like, hell to the yeah, like fuck the snakes, fuck the towers that are popping up.
Guys. Right?
Yeah, these towers are popping up in every city of the realm. And for everyone listening, this world—I don't think they say it in the movie. I don't think they do. This world is called Hyboria,
right?
I believe. Or this realm.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be an ancient earth.
Yeah. As Mako told us in the opening narration, this is, you know, between Atlantis sinking into the ocean and some other time. what's he tell? Oh, he gives them a task. And he's like, my daughter has fallen to this snake cult.
Right.
She's now traveling towards his fucking temple. I want you to go get her and steal her back from me.
Yeah, big D&D moment. This is the quest.
This is the quest. This is what the movie's been building up towards. And he's got a great line in here.
He's like, there comes a time, thief, when the jewels cease to sparkle, the gold loses its luster, and the throne room becomes nothing more than a prison. And all that is left is a father's love for his child.
What's her name? The daughter, Yasemina? Yasemina?
I don't remember.
Yasemina. Yeah, Yasemina.
Yasemina. They want him to capture her from the snare of Thulsa Doom and his snake cult at the Mountain of Power or the Temple of Set, whatever you want to call it. They call it both.
The Fist of Power.
Thulsa Doom is compared to a cult leader asking his followers to like seek the truth of their souls. And Valeria calls him a sorcerer who can summon demons. He's said to be over 1,000 years old. None of this is confirmed in the film as well. Some of it is, but not his age. Valeria wants to leave with Conan. She's like,
right.
I love this scene. I really love this scene.
Yes.
She is bearing her soul to him. And she tells him that there's been many nights where she's passing by other people who are camped out at night in their tents, and she sees the figures of people holding each other, and all she wants is that warmth, and she just wants him to give her that warmth, give each other that warmth.
Right.
But they make love, and in the morning she wakes up and Conan's gone, but he left her that jewel. It's like a token of like, I do love you, but I'm mad. So, a man's.
I love you, but I am toxically masculine.
Hashtag toxic masculinity.
I have done too much steroids and I have a tiny penis, so I cannot possibly satisfy you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, good. It's shrinkage.
So then we get on barbaric to like. Shrinkage. So he's gone, but then we get to him riding the horse.
Oh, yeah, he's riding that horse.
For
on horseback.
Fucking ever.
For a few minutes.
Well, it's like for a few minutes?
Yeah, it's okay, a few minutes. So
I have riding a horse, walking, running. Then we have that little Children of Doom of Children moment. from like the narrator guy, and that we're still riding a horse. 4 minutes in, 4 minutes of riding a horse. You know, I counted this because it was pissing me off. That we're still riding a horse, and it's like 6 minutes in. And then we start getting to some like kind of cool visuals where it's like,
it's when he gets to the graveyard of the old giants guarded by the bones of the dead.
Once great men lived here, giants, gods, once but long ago. It was here that I met my master. It was no accident. Nor is it mere chance that I am the teller of his tale.
That part is awesome.
And then he finds the wizard.
Yes.
And then it's like, then things start to get interesting.
Here like, he interesting. Meets yep. Akiro, the wizard of the mounds, who takes Conan in for the night after a fucking funny ass exchange between both of them.
Hey! I'm a wizard, mind you. This place is kept by powerful gods and spirits of kings. On my flesh, and you will have to deal with the dead.
Can you summon demons, wizard?
Yes! I strike at you, I would summon a demon more ferocious than all in hell!
So Conan and him are buds, and he asked for flowers. The next
for
day,
the girl.
He leaves, and he leaves on a camel with a bouquet,
yep.
Man.
Yep.
I'm like, goddamn. On a camel with a bouquet. There's a rap song in there somewhere. He finds the camp of Doom's followers and steals the robe of a priest by tricking him to talk alone away from everyone else. He's
was
like,
was that not like the most almost gay moment ever?
The priest was coming on to him.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, definitely. I like the way he said, you're embarrassed to bear yourself. He's like,
yeah,
but you're so well grown.
Yeah. How do you expect?
You should not be ashamed of your body.
How do you expect to reach emptiness without knowing your own body? And I'm like, emptiness, bro. Like empty his balls into your mouth.
Oh, I'm
empty as hell. Then, so like,
there's nothing wrong
with that. But there is something wrong with a priest wanting to do it. Just saying.
In the most literal current terms,
hey man,
yes.
Maybe Set. Maybe that's not against Set's laws, bro. I mean, you know.
Yeah, empty your balls for Set.
Empty them. Do them.
Conan, he steals his fucking robes and travels with the cultists to the temple of Set. And he hands that fucking two snakes talisman to some guard for entry after staring into the pool of water. And
infinity.
Yeah, that priestess is like, what do you see? Infinity. Good.
And then we have, keeping with the theme of the movie, lots of walking. Just up the steps.
Well, he walks up, and yeah, but you hear the fucking booming voice of James Earl Jones, finally.
I have watched you for 1,000 years. I have watched you. Who among you still fears death? Who will not face emptiness?
And during his speech, Conan is seized by several of Doom's warriors because the guard tipped him off because he's a bitch. And He's the infidel. They beat him up. Like, I think Conan, to a degree, wanted to get captured, to get in front of him.
Yeah,
I guess they really beat the brakes off him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He gets brought in front of Thulsa of Doom, and he's lamenting the loss of his servants and all this and that, but mostly his pet snake.
Right.
And he displays, this is where he's like, do you want me to teach you the secret of the riddle of steel, boy?
There was a time, boy, when I searched for steel. And steel meant more to me than gold or jewels.
The riddle of steel.
Yes. You know what it is, don't you, boy? Shall I tell you?
is the least I can do. Steel isn't strong, boy. Flesh is stronger. That is strength, boy. That is power. The strength and power of flesh. What is steel compared to the hand that wields it? Look at the strength of your body, the desire in your heart. I gave you this. Such a waste.
He's like, yeah. It's nothing. The power of flesh is the real power. And he turns to some fucking chick up in the rocks above them.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, come to me, my child. Come. She just jumps without even thinking to her death.
She doesn't even jump. She just walks off.
Yeah.
She just like takes three steps and goes.
And he's like, you see that? That is strength. That is power, boy.
He claims that he gave Conan like the fierce desire that's in his heart right now. He's the one that gave it to him, extolling the true power of flesh. And then he sentences
he's playing him. God. He's playing God at that point. Like, I'm God.
Oh, oh yeah. Heavy God big complex God. Right there. He's like,
oh, he literally
him on the tree of woe.
Oh, yeah. Let him contemplate this on the tree of woe. yeah, bro. A fucking tree now,
is
of
that,
woe.
Is that W-O-E, the tree of woe, or is it like a Simpsons woe, like W-H-O-A-H? Woe.
The tree of doe.
Yeah. yeah, pretty much.
At this point, though, when they do talk, that's when Conan tells him, like, you killed my mother, my father, my people. And he was like, must have been my younger days.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what starts him off about, like, I used to strive for steel, but now I know the true power of flesh. Yeah. And he fucking definitely has the flesh strung up on a tree. Conan spends a lot of time on this old dead tree being pecked at by vultures. That he tries to fucking kill one by like biting it.
That was a real dead vulture too.
Yeah.
In some of those shots where he's biting into it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, made that's him my sick. That's my more chicken note. You just cause like if you follow this movie, there are so many spots where he's just eating chicken. Like he's just ripping chicken apart through the whole movie. We're like, oh look, more chicken. Yeah. So he got some more chicken.
It goes back to him. He couldn't get tired. He was, I fucking love going to cities and eating all this fucking like meat everywhere. Let me just bite into this vulture real quick.
cook some rice.
Because you get it's either a mirage or a miracle running toward him in the distance. It's Sabotage to the rescue.
Yeah. And he laughs and dies.
Yeah, his laugh. that laugh, though, if you think about Arnold Schwarzenegger and that laugh, that laugh probably should have been trademarked by somebody because it's you see that laugh in Predator, that laugh is in Last Action Hero, a little bit of that laugh is in what the fuck? Anyway,
all the way,
yeah, but that laugh, just that, it's almost better than I'll Be Back. You know, it like that laugh. Like you can't mistake that for anything else other than that's Arnold Schwarzenegger not knowing the language and just having to have a line. And the line was laugh.
And then dies.
Yeah.
Well, he's nearly dead. He's brought back to the wizard Akiro from earlier.
And then for whatever reason, they cover him in hieroglyphs and
they
stick him to the ground.
They make a deal. They say that, like, you know, you're a wizard. Do you owe the gods anything? Because you need to bring him back to life. Akiro agrees, but he warns there will be a heavy cost. And Valeria says, I will pay that cost. Yeah, and that's when you get this fucking nighttime ritual, cause that they like Grindhouse said, cover him in hieroglyphs, stake him to the ground,
wrap him all up.
What the fuck are these fucking sand ghosts things that like?
Oh, those are awesome. Those are the spirits. Those are the spirits from the spirit world.
You can't call them sand ghosts anymore.
No, and they're
that's insensitive.
And they're coming in. They're coming in, and they're trying to take him. That's what they're trying to take him, like to the
all day and all night. I have the feeling of coming. It's great.
well, exactly. So, but they really, really half-assedly fight. Like, I mean, it's like the worst, like C-rated, like WWQ wrestling. Like they're flopping out, and Valeria's flopping around, and Sabu he's flopping around, and even the wizard is up in his thing going. Like he's just, and it's like, and all of a sudden it's like they're gone.
Like, this is at the same time the worst special effects in the film and the best,
right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
This okay, so when you talk about 80s schlock, now I see what you're saying. This scene is that scene. Yeah, this is the, because it looks so bad, but at the same time it's so charmingly awesome.
Right. You know what it reminded me of?
Smile while you watch this.
This scene reminded me of a couple of different scenes from Poltergeist, the original Poltergeist.
Uh-huh.
When they have these like swirling things that are happening, and mm-hmm. it's like things are coming in, and they're like, and they're kind of going around. Totally reminded me of Poltergeist. Like I totally got a Poltergeist boner, and it was like, it's us. So yeah, there's boners everywhere.
Hard nipple boner.
They're like weirdly. And I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it anyway because it suits us. They're like cosmically fighting this stuff, but it's almost not even like a fight. It's more like I'm going to wrap you in a blanket and protect you until this stuff. And no, but I love that about it. I love that. It was just
trying to drag his ass away.
Yeah, but there was no swords, no knives, no whatever else. It was just it was like a game of keep away, you know? And it was
tug
like
of war with and the Conan. We win.
Exactly, and we fucking won, so fuck off, sand demon people. It's funny, the more we talk about this, the more I like this movie. God damn it, I hate when this happens.
Once the sun sets, the ghouls of the afterlife, those spirits of death, those sand demons, try to take Conan, but are held off by his companions, and the next morning, Conan has returned to them, his strength and resolve intact. How awesome is that scene where he's just fucking sword playing
right
next to that fucking cryptic witch looking shit in the background? And I'm just like, yeah, movie, do it. Do this to me. Because it was doing it at this point. The wizard tells him of a gorge with many caves behind the Mountain of Power where they might be able to sneak in and steal Yasmina, the princess of Osric, or his daughter, the princess of his kingdom, away from Thulsa Doom. With this, they ride through the desert. Yeah, they ride through the rocky terrain.
Oh, but there was a moment though when he was still like strapped down and she was on top of him and just being like, oh, and she was touching him, and like the one thought that came into my mind, it was like
Grindhouse came.
No, I didn't. My first thought was like, you might want to get a restraining order against this bitch because she's like, up in your shit.
and based on what she tells him, you're right, because she's just like, not all the gods, not all the fires of hell, like nothing can keep me from you.
Like
basically,
that's restraining order to get a conceal and carry permit.
Exactly.
Like she was like, if I were dead, I would return from the pits of hell or whatever to fight for
fight
you.
By
like,
your side.
Yeah, I love Valeria. I love
Valeria.
Her.
Yeah, Valeria. Well, no,
so
do I.
But there was definitely that moment where it was like, is this bitch crazy? Like,
yeah, oh, she crazy. Yeah. She's crazy.
Yeah,
that's the
in
best
all the
ones.
Best ways.
Yeah.
Well, in Jesus all the best Christ. Ways, definitely. But then there's also that moment where you're like, is this the best way?
Oh, it's the best way. Black magic saving you from death ritual. Hell yeah. I'm all about this shit. Once they do get to the outskirts behind the Mountain of Power, they go fucking full black metal Viking style. That paint, the way they paint themselves up, I love.
Very striking, just the contrast. And
I love the way they look.
Yeah, they look great.
And then you get more sneaking. And this sneaking... And they did it earlier. Oh, yeah. They did it earlier where they sneak, and you look at it, you watch them sneak, and you're like, the only reason people don't hear them sneaking around is because the score is so loud. That's the only reason that no one can hear them. Like, there's just no way you sneak this closely to other people and not get,
Conan's,
like, someone just be like, what the hell was
Conan's,
that?
Conan's big, muscly feet just tromping all over the place.
Dude.
Making all kind of clumsy noises.
They sneak past so many servants that are concocting some vile brew of human body parts in a green stew.
Right.
That they carry in a big iron, humongous iron cauldron that six people carry to this chamber room of grand hedonistic indulgence, where right. men and women are performing sex acts and eating food and just
it's Caligula. It's a giant fucking Roman orgy. But they're also like, as those guys are like carrying that big cauldron, they're spilling that shit everywhere. they're walking, and it's like,
just that's like a sloppy stew, cuz.
Oh god, it's like, what are you fucking guys doing? Yeah, and then it
the
was
hell
like,
were they cooking?
Yeah,
they get paid a day rate. What do you want from them? They Conan, Sabata, and Valeria make their way into the Chamber of Pleasures, and then you see Thulsa Doom turn into a fucking snake person. And look directly at the camera. And
yeah,
I
bro.
Died, dude. But yeah. I didn't expect this. I had no inkling that this was about to happen to me. My favorite part is that his hands shrink into
when they go into the yeah.
And then it cuts to him as a snake man. And I'm just like, holy shit, James Earl Jones is a fucking snake.
My and mom that's crawls a, away from
my mom
no
was
reason.
Blown. Well, no.
No, I don't think he crawls away for no reason. I think this is just me. He's running like a bitch is what he's doing.
Yeah,
like,
he
like
is
he's
a bitch.
Just coming and he's yeah. just like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm out, whatever else. But that struck me as like running like a bitch. It's like,
yeah.
He left his woman and all of his people behind.
I agree.
And it's like, so I'm such a great fucking leader that I'm going to bail on y'all and you're on your fucking own.
I do agree with that because he
not cool.
The three thieves set the tapestry around the orgy on fire, and the plan commences. Sabotai kills the brewmaster of the human stew, and then the three start taking out all of the fucking guards while Snake Thulsa slithers away through some fucking escape hole like it's Nacho Libre or some shit.
Right.
The snake hole. That's what I call it.
Conan tips over that fucking big cauldron, and it tumbles down fucking...
Feats of strength. Yep. Feats of strength are just a common... Conan thing, like like Conan flipping stuff, picking stuff up.
It's a common Arnold Schwarzenegger thing because he did it in every single fucking one of his movies ever. He did it in Predator. He did it in Commando. He did it in Raw Deal. There's always a moment where he just goes, like something big tips over, or something big gets pulled down, or something. But I mean, he was fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger, so like, of course, like that just makes sense.
Mr. Universe sends that thing tumbling down, and it cracks one of the pillars holding up, I guess, the fucking roof. And the fighting ensues. He faces off with two of Thulsa's warriors who had captured him, the ones that had captured him earlier at the fucking when he gave up his little precious talent.
The guys
talisman.
With the best wigs ever.
Oh my god!
The hair. Oh my god! So like not awesome.
It's yeah. It's like you would see my hair on them and be like, yeah, that's a wig.
They are red looking.
The badassness comes from how shitty it kind of looks. But I didn't find it schlocky while watching it though. Not during this whole fucking
scene.
Well,
but wasn't it Thorgrim's hammer that like broke the initial yeah. like pedestal?
No, first it was
the pot.
Yeah, the rolling. Cauldron rolled down and cracked it, and then while
that
they're fighting, light. Yeah, man, log.
Well, but there was that. Well, there was that moment though where Thorgrim looked at his hammer and was like, "Oops, I did that."
He brings the rest of it down, basically.
Yeah, he hits
that,
it.
And that big snake head falls off the pillar and gets on Mustache, knocks him
Rexor.
Down.
Rexor.
Yeah.
Rexor. It falls on Rexor, but doesn't kill him. Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing, right?
It's like a smoke screen of dust at this point. And they're escaping with Yasmina. Conan's got her over his fucking shoulder, like just running out of there with Sabotai. And Valeria takes up the rear to kill any and all that dare to stop them. I love the scene where those two guards that you could tell are really nervous to fight her show up. And she gets ready. But then she starts tapping her sword in her hand like, I'm about to spank your asses, cuz.
Right. She just relaxes and she's like, man, Y'all don't even know.
I didn't get an awkward boner right there. I got the full-on real-ass Valeria boner right there.
That's that Valkyrie waifu.
Well, but did nobody else get that thing where like he's running out of the cave, he's got a woman over his shoulder and he's leaving his other woman behind? are you doing the grass is green on the other side of the fence thing here? Because
I didn't think that at all. Bitch ass Thulsa Doom returns in human form, and he uses some of his black magic and fashions an arrow out of a snake.
That was sweet.
Fuck yeah. That shit was just awesome.
The visuals. Again, the visuals in this movie, they're fucking stellar. And just the taking the snake and just going.
Straightening it out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he just like whispers seek. To it. He says, seek.
Seek. Seek. And he just goes. Phew. And then when Arnold or Conan is pulling it out of her, and he pulls
it out. It's stiff at first, but then it gets real snake-like. That was so awesome.
Thulsa fires the arrow, and it hits Valeria. So she gets shot, and you see it. And it's like one of those quick, you just see her go, ugh! And it's like, oh, fuck, she got hit. God damn it. First time watch, I didn't think it was going to kill her. I thought there was more to this.
Oh, I did. I did. No, I knew she was done.
But they make it a safe enough distance away, and she dies in the arms of Conan, wanting only to kiss him and breathe her last breath
into him. Just keep me warm.
Keep me
warm.
That's all she cared about.
Yep.
Like, a movie like this, I'm not usually one to get, like, lost in the romance of a movie that its main focus is not the romance. But this movie, for some reason, the dialogue maybe and the way the characters played it out, I loved it.
Yeah.
Same. I really did. Conan gives her a warrior's funeral, setting her ablaze on a pyre on a windy mound where Akira says no fire will burn, but it does. Mm-hmm. And her spirit is lifted off into the night sky by those impossible flames. And that's when you get the line where Subutai, you know, he's crying and he says, or Akira asks him, you know, why Sumerian. Do you...
Sumerians don't cry. So we'll cry for him.
Yeah, right. It's good shit.
It's good. Yep.
Conan fucking finally tears. He's had this for the whole movie. He's had like a necklace of the Wheel of Pain. He rips it off and he puts on the Eye of the Serpent in honor of Valeria, his love. And I'm like, bro, this is solid, bro. This is so fucking good. At dawn, Yasmina, who they tie to some Lord Stone in that giant's graveyard, threatens them, saying that Thulsa will come and kill them because they've seen their funeral's fire. Conan and Subutai begin carving spears, and they start to wax philosophical about, like, lost youth and the nature of life's driving forces. And I love the line Conan tells him,
"For us, there is no spring. Just the wind that smells fresh before the storm."
And that's when you know shit's about to get fucking real. They construct elaborate defenses, like spears everywhere and like mechanisms to fucking
impale people.
Yeah.
Totally unfair comparison, but it reminded me a lot of Predator.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Akira brings them all kinds of weapons and armor.
That's
and
what
shit.
I was about to mention.
Oh, like, yeah.
And he finds it from the dead.
Right.
Like, comes in just walking in, and he's like, he's got shields and swords and armor, all kinds of stuff. And he's like, "Where'd you find this?" He's like, "The dead." Okay, well, how'd it work out for them?
And he's like, how's he say it? He's
this
like,
"Armor sucks."
He's like, "The gods." He says, "The gods are pleased. They will watch the battle." And Conan's like, "Will they help?" And he's like, "No." I love the way he says that, too. He's like,
"So then
no.
Tell them to stay the hell out of the way." Yeah.
They wait and they see.
He looks like he's got a chamber pot on his head too, which makes me super happy. Akira's the best.
A big piss pot on his head. Shit and piss all over that wizard, cuz. They're waiting and they see approaching in the distance a cavalry on horseback riding strong towards them. And before the battle begins, and this is the last dialogue you hear from Conan in the film, Conan finally prays to Krom.
Krom. I have never prayed you before. I have no tongue for it. No one, not even you, will remember if we were good men or bad, why we fought or why we died. No. All that matters is that two stood against many. That's what's important. Valor pleases you, Crom. So grant me one request. Grant me revenge. And if you do not listen, then the hell with you.
Thalsa's men arrive and are met with a vengeance. Conan and Sabbatai conduct a symphony of death, each enemy falling victim to their traps as they gracefully move around the graveyard, taking out one of the troop after another. Eventually, Conan is met in battle by the man who had raised Thalsa's enormous pet snake. Earlier in the film, Thalsa even made mention, like, he is heartbroken or something, he says.
Right. He beside himself with grief.
Yeah. But they go through this epic battle like there's an Olympic fucking sport for asshole killing. And I just love it. Yeah, they go through there and it's just like, they pop up behind every rock and it's like, a double spear. Oh, yeah. Oh, god damn.
I always like the dudes falling on the spears and just the way they just break all the way down.
Yeah. It's like they're useless.
Useless spear. But it still looks painful.
No. It looks fucked up, but I kept watching it, and I'm like, every time they roll through these, they're just knocking them over, not really getting impaled by them. Right. But I'm like, all right, I mean, what are you going to do?
It still looks red.
Well, they had those layers and layers of spikes, and it's like, only like one guy fell off the spikes, but like every time you saw them, they got bloodier every scene. Like, I totally dug that shit. It's like, that's like, I want my front yard to look like that. I just want to see bloody Halloween spikes. Just real life.
Just in real life all the time.
Mailman comes to deliver a fucking package and he gets fucking impaled through the
neck. Not the mailman, just people that have like ill intent, you know? Like, which is most of the world. But yeah, anyway.
What was the name of that soldier that he was fighting right there where he meets the guy in
Thorgrim.
Thorgrim. The guy that got spiked.
He tricks him. The guy strikes what he believes to be Conan's helmet, only to be pierced through the fucking chest by that large ass spike. That shit is fucking awesome. And Conan starts fighting this other dude. Was that? That's the
Rexor.
Rexor.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's about to get beaten, but out of nowhere, saved from defeat by the spirit of Valeria, who says again,
"I need a restraining order." Because she just keeps haunting this motherfucker. Like, this guy can't get away from her.
Forever?
Yeah. Do you want to live forever, man? Come on, man.
Yeah. She uses her magics on him.
Yeah. And Conan fucking kills the last.
And she's in full. She's in full Valkyrie get up too.
Oh, she's a god. She's a goddess.
Of course, that's
glowing. Yeah.
That's what they burned her in too. It's the same stuff.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. After watching this defeat, Thalsa flees like a bitch, but tries to kill the restrained Yasmina with another snake arrow, only to have it blocked by Sabbatai's shield. It is here that Yasmina is convinced that she was on the wrong path. I mean, she's like, "Father, please don't kill me."
Right. First of all, she was under the spell. She was under the spell. But you totally bounced over the fact that when he was killing Rexor had the family sword, and he shattered the family sword into pieces.
I didn't realize that.
Right.
Well,
that's why
pay attention.
That's why he decides to use that broke ass sword later on.
That night, Thalsa gathers all of his remaining followers in a firelight vigil, and Conan and Yasmina sneak into the Temple of Set. As she approaches the top of the temple, Conan is killing every guard along the way. They kind of like let her have a free pass, and he comes behind and kills them. Meanwhile, Thalsa claims there will be a great cleansing, one that will burn away the darkness, that will burn their way to paradise. He then turns around to find himself standing face to face with Conan the Barbarian. This is when he tries to play his little magic act.
"My child, you have come to me, my son. For who now is your father if it is not me? Who gave you the will to live? I am the wellspring from which you flow. When I am gone, you will have never been. What will your world be without me, my son?
You want to kind of go like a total fucking Star Wars ripoff here? Like when he keeps calling him his son?
Right. No, it's very Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And I hear Mufasa in my head, so.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. Yeah, there you go. I totally got Star Wars. Yeah.
Like, James Earl Jones, he's the best daddy. He's always the best daddy. I'm just saying. Snake daddy.
Definitely some daddy issues in this whole thing.
Hey, yep. James Earl Jones has the best hair in the world in this movie, too.
I was waiting for when it was going to get mentioned. Like some full blown fucking Shakespeare hair. Yeah,
he's got the best hair in the world.
The shortest bangs. Yeah. Let's paint this picture for the listeners. The shortest bangs that could ever be bangs and not even be bangs, and then the longest hair on the sides ever.
The hell?
Any medieval knight that has to wear a helmet, and so they cut their bangs off, but they let their hair grow long so they can still see while they're doing whatever. That's Thulsa Doom's fucking hair. Oh my god. Conan is not swayed by his fucking sorcery. And he straight up fucking swords his ass in the neck.
With the broken sword.
And he swords him again.
Spanks him with it in the neck.
And then he cuts his fucking head off, displays it to the cultists that are all at the bottom of the Temple of Set with all their fire, the torches lit, then throws it down the stairs.
The Medusa moment. The Medusa moment, right? Holds the head up like Medusa. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like the opposite. Instead of being like turned to stone, you're fucking freed.
Yes.
It's like the opposite Medusa moment. Yeah. Yep.
He throws the head down the stairs, he drops his sword, and then one by one, the cultists throw their lit torches into the pool of infinity. They walk off into the night, serenaded by angels and the four winds, Crumb smiling from his mountain. After every torch has been extinguished, Conan hurls a flaming ball. I don't know what that shit is actually called.
It's a brazier, I think.
A brazier. Into the temple.
Full of oil. Yep.
And he sets it on fire. The Temple of Set is now on fire, and he leads Yasmina away by hand.
But first, he sits there and thinks about it for a while. He's like, what do I do now?
Yeah, he does sit on the steps and just kind of, he does that whole...
That little thinking guy pulls. Yeah.
He's contemplating, but thankfully not on the Tree of Woe.
Right.
Akira the Wizard leaves us with these words.
So did Conan return the wayward daughter of King Osric to her home. And having no further concern, he and his companion sought adventure in the West. Many wars and feuds did Conan fight. Honor and fear were heaped upon his name. In time, he became a king by his own hand. This story shall also be told.
So that's Conan the Barbarian from 1982. Epic sword and sorcery. First time watch for me.
Well, I was just at the very end there. I was going to talk about like the sort of slip and slide that was. Hey, part two's coming, which is kind of awesome. But like talking about the queen or the princess he rescued, like I kind of wonder if he got to nail that chick because after all that, there should have been some ass at the end of that rainbow. There just should have been. But then they show Arnold Schwarzenegger with like the goatee and looking like he's aged 30 years and he's just like where are we going with this? You know? It's like assuming there was never a part two, there was never a destroyer. It's like I mean he got like mean and pissed off and like and well, I'm guessing it was because he didn't get to nail the princess. That's why.
I'm sure he nailed all the other ones.
I've never nailed that one. I've never seen destroyer. Right. Like I hadn't seen Barbarian, so I had the same thought at the end of the film as like, oh shit, the next movie is going to be him as the king, and I've been told that that's not the case. So okay, fair enough. I would love to know that age of Conan, but maybe I should become a fucking Conan reader and really dive into the stories by Robert E. Howard, the man that wrote the shit.
Right.
To say that this film is a realistic depiction of what he wrote would be a lie.
Right, because Thulsa Doom wasn't even a Conan character. It was a Cole character. And all of Cole's timeline takes place way before Conan's.
Cole the Conqueror?
Right. Thulsa Doom in this movie is kind of like a placeholder for Thothamon from Conan. But when at the end of the day, it don't matter.
Not for the film's purposes.
The movie adaptation.
But for the lore, yeah. I want to know more about the lore. I like this world. I like this idea.
It's very grim dark.
When I first got into H.P. Lovecraft and then figured out that he was pen pals with Robert E. Howard and that they wrote shit for each other, this is lore I found out outside of being someone who ever saw these films or knew about Conan. I just always knew it as an Arnold Schwarzenegger film. Never even bothered to check it out in this kind of a way, like where I'm seeing it now, like I said earlier, brutal cosmicism. This movie is a representation of, for me, when like watching it for the first time and being who I am now, I'm glad I saw it now in a good way, because I don't know if I would have seen this movie the same way 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I would have saw it differently, but I saw it as a representation of someone trying to figure out their purpose in this meaningless fucking void. You could use this setting in so many different ways. It could be a guy working at a coffee shop who's trying to find his purpose. It doesn't matter. The same premise or the same spirit of story told through this premise of a barbarian in an age unimaginable, like you said, grimdark as fuck. First time watch, I absolutely love this movie. I love this movie. This is perfect. The score is perfect. The acting is awesome. I don't have any problem with Arnold. I don't have any problem with anybody in this movie. You have the best pal stereotype with fucking Subotai. You've got an elevated female love interest. Like Valeria is amazing. And
yeah, she's a 10.
Everything about them together touched me a lot. Maybe it's what I'm going through in my own life right now. I don't know. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm glad I saw it now because it's touching me right now. The imagery in this film, again, there's so many shots that are like operatic poetry. I just kept thinking that over and over again, where the score is playing heavy into what I'm seeing. And then it leaves me with this sense of a weird fulfillment. Just from watching it, like I feel better having watched this movie. And it comes off the heels of The Northman, which is I wouldn't call it a ripoff of Conan. I wouldn't call it that. I don't think it's the same story at all. It is to a certain degree with The Vengeance, but it's a different story when you really watch it and you really look at the film. Having said that, though, I feel like it's really good coming off the heels of that modern movie to watch a similar film from the 80s, no less. It's sword and sorcery. It fits in. But, dude, this is like, yeah, this is sword and sorcery elevated to the next level. Yeah. It's not, I wouldn't call it Lord of the Rings level, but
right.
But for the 80s, it's fucking pretty good. It's really good. This made Arnold Schwarzenegger's career. I mean, that there's no coming away from that. Like, you wouldn't have Terminator without this movie. You wouldn't have Terminator 2 without this movie. Last Action Hero, you wouldn't have any of his iconic roles had he not been really introduced to the public with this film. It's an accomplishment. But those are kind of my final thoughts, unless I chime in when y'all start talking. But I'm giving this movie a 10 out of 10. This is a 10 out of 10. This is it's a masterpiece.
Well, it shouldn't surprise anyone that, seeing as how I grew up with this movie and it's loaded with nostalgia and those feelings of being a kid and fun and snake stuff and swords and boobs and just all this fun shit, that this movie's a 10 for me, because I grew up watching it, and every time I watch it, I'm just, I'm 8 years old again. playing with my trucks in the mud.
Is this a movie you watch with Mr. Ken?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, that's my final thoughts. This one's a 10. I grew up with it. Me and my dad, my mom, my sister, we used to watch this all the time.
I want to see where Grindhouse comes in now, because he came in hating on it, but as we were talking, he's like, God damn it.
He's going to give it a solid 4.
Whoa.
Well, okay, so the reality of the movies that we love, right? Watching any of these movies by yourself is never going to be as good as watching it with your friends.
We'd have had a hell of time watching this together.
So that's my point. So, like, when I started this whole thing, it's like I had to choke down this movie. I had to choke it down. But the reality of it is once we got starting talking about it, it was like all these things that I thought, like I said, I got 9 fucking pages of notes on this movie that I was shitting on when we started. Okay. But like that tells me something about it. Like there were so many things that I noticed. There were so many things that we didn't even talk about in my fucking notes. There's some spots in this movie where the pace sucks. It sucks. Okay. And if you guys are going to try to tell me different, you're just wrong. And you already know that you're wrong. So you're probably not going to say a whole lot. The visuals are awesome. The scenery is awesome. The score is awesome. So like I said, like sitting here and like talking about it with you guys and going through the whole thing. And it's like, if I have a score in mind for a movie, generally I pretty much stick to it. I don't change that often. It's pretty rare that I change, but like talking about this movie and like the buildup and like all the little things you guys threw in where it was like, didn't even think of that. Yeah, this movie started out as like maybe a 3 or a 4 for me. That's where it started. And now that I'm all done and we've wrapped this shit up and I've gone through all of this and just like trying to digest the whole thing, it's at a 6 for me. And I know probably not in the wheelhouse that you guys are would have expected or used to or whatever else, but it kind of goes back to all the things that we've talked about when we talk about either horror movies, sci-fi movies, fantasy movies, whatever else. And how when you live in this realm. Well, I live in this realm. I do.
No, I like the term. I love that term.
I know. Yeah. Well, I know both of y'all motherfuckers live in this realm. So
it's like, a flat one.
Yeah, this ain't.
We just love the word realm.
Yeah. But my point being is like when you can sit down and you can talk about this stuff with your friends and you get a little bit of new perspective. I think it's a big piece of what makes a lot of this stuff good, but then like pushes it to another level. It can make it great. I still don't think that Arnold Schwarzenegger had more than like 200 words in this entire movie. That he spent most of it grunting or like using his giant biceps to like either cuddle a woman or cuddle a vulture or cuddle a snake.
He was double stuffed Oreo and everybody in every scene. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, I also think at the same time, it's like when he first started it, it's like, I don't think he knew English all that well.
He really didn't.
So, I mean, so if you look at it for what it is, I mean, it's when it comes to the sword and sorcery piece of it, do I think there are better movies? Yeah, I do. I do. Mm-hmm. After talking about it and like going over all these scenes and especially the ones that maybe like laugh a little bit or just, or like, what I mean, seriously, the Wheel of Pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Wheel of Pain is so aptly named because I was like, when is this shit going to be over? You know, but at the same time, it's like, because he just kept walking. Like he walked for 20 fucking years. He walked. But overall, the movie in and of itself, you know, when they sneak into the tower and they steal the snake eye, or you know, more towards the end when they get in the big Roman orgy, and then even more towards the end when they start to like fortify their thing and they have the big sort of like the most epic battle really of the whole thing. There's some shit in this movie that is really cool. It's just really cool.
There's a lot of great set pieces that tentpole the movie throughout, that and you just described all of them. Like
the sets are fantastic. The sets are fantastic.
Oh dude, there's nothing on this movie is insane. Like how they built this shit is insane.
Yeah, there's nothing in this movie that you can second guess. There's nothing in this movie you can second guess.
They burned it all down after too.
Well, of really? Course, well,
yeah.
Maximum Overdrive, man.
Tartaria style, like they just blew it all up.
Yep.
Yeah, bro. They should have left all that shit out there.
That first scene where his mom and dad get killed is a set piece. The pit fighting is the Wheel of Pain is a set piece to me. the pit fighting is. Him fucking finding the sword as a set piece. Then you get the scaling the tower scene and all of that with the giant snake.
Right.
And then the fucking meeting the wizard and the him getting beaten and crucified. It's like it was one to like so how you saw all these boring parts in between. For me, I was traveling between set pieces and having ideas flowing through my head while watching the whole movie. Again, first time watch, I'm 33. I'm not 10 years old. I'm not seeing it for the first time since I was 10 years old. I'm seeing it now. And at this time in my life,
feeling it.
I felt this whole movie, dude. Like I saw
and honestly, I think they
meant me to see.
I think you're right. So having not seen this for the first time, having seen it before, what I'm telling you is that for the whole journey, this movie was 2 hours and 10 minutes long. They could have cut out 40 fucking minutes of him walking, running, riding a horse, riding a fucking camel, or laying on the ground doing nothing. They could have cut all that out and the movie would have been the same, but I could have saved myself 40 minutes. That's probably my biggest bitch about the whole movie. It's like there were some scenes that were just too long.
They definitely could have cut time off of the
movie. I will concede I'll agree to that. With that. I'll concede to it, but I'll also say there's so many moments that you can't get rid of. You know what I mean? Like there's so many moments you can't. I'll agree with all the walking and the run, but even that to a certain degree. When I was watching it and I had the ideas flowing, I was like, they're running again. And I started laughing, and I started enjoying it. I was like, yeah, they're fuck it. We're running now, cuz. This is a 10. It's a 10. It's a 10 from me. It's a 10 from Rickles. And it's a 6 out of 10 from Grindhouse, who never gives anything a 10. Remember that, listeners. So don't think that his judgment is harsh. It is fair. There you go.
Yes.
Conan the Barbarian, man. We did that shit.
Boom.
I am a generous god.
Harsh, but fair.
I want to tell everyone, check out Joe Blow Horror Show, which I am a co-host on. I do that show with Boss Tuna, the creator of the show. We've got our summer series of The Conjuring coming up. You can find us also on Discord, and the nightclub hangs out there. Fixie's Playground, another podcast you should check out, hangs out there. Also, friends of the nightclub is Chuddle the Pod, and they have their own Discord. So you can search them out as well. And listen to their show. They're everywhere you can find podcasts. They're there. Podcasting Familia. Who else? Talking with Shadows. Boom. Love them motherfuckers.
Podcasting Goon Squad.
That's us. We the Goon Squad?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, shit. From deep in the bowels of Castle Moonskull, we bellow out all of our fucking friends. Yeah, I shouted them out last time too, but check out Poltergeist OD, who has got some merchandise coming out that looks pretty fucking dope. He's got that drip going on. And check out his music on Apple and Spotify, YouTube, and all that.
Dude, I was talking to Eddie and Jarek yesterday while Eddie was streaming his cooking show on the Golgothan channel.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about making a Natter Days t-shirt design, like it'll be like the pink and yellow with like silver logo and stuff from Golgothan.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, you have my money if you make it.
That's what I'm all about. Yeah,
I'll buy at least one.
That being said, go check out Golgothan, another friend of the nightclub. That band is fucking awesome. Rick and I went saw them live recently at the Freetown Boom Boom Room. And oh my god, we had a fucking blast. We were in the pit.
We had too much fun.
Feeling that
I did
shit.
Anyway.
Oh,
I had to leave some fun on the side of the highway.
Yeah, Ricky said all over the fucking. He welched just cookies.
Yeah. Well.
Well, so what we can learn from this is that Rickles will pay for it. Travis will give it up for free.
Yeah.
And when all is said and done, even if you think you might not like or understand or get a movie, I would say watch it. If you can, watch it with your friends. If you can't, at least talk to them about it, because you know what? You're gonna learn some fucking magical shit about the world. And when you go out into the fucking world and you're looking at your fellow man and you're doing whatever else, it's like, always remember that somebody might have a different opinion. Somebody might have a different position. But at the end of the day, we all got to be fucking people. We all got to get through this fucking shit together. And it's just fucking absolute ass rocket Ferris wheel of a life that we live.
It's a wheel of pain, dog.
It's a wheel of pain.
And we all got to fucking grab a hold of that fucking wood and push it. That's all we got to do is just fucking walk your path. And don't let anybody don't let fucking anybody tell you that you ain't walking the right fucking path. Just walk your shit, do it, own it, and make the best of it. You know, and I think that's what our buddy Conan did. I think he made the fucking best of it.
Yeah, bud. Well said. Mm-hmm.
Embrace the wheel of pain.
I would say walk, run, ride a horse. A camel.
Punch a camel.
Punch a camel if you have to. Make sure you're eating your fucking chicken. But at the end of the day, find your daddy's knife.
Always remember, there's an ass at the end of the rainbow. And stay medieval, bitches.
fucking time.
That's what we're sitting here saying.
Oh, don't fucking even. Don't fucking even. We said 8 o'clock, motherfucker, and it's 9 o'clock, so.
Bruh, man's got to work.
Man's got to eat.
Yeah.
All right, well, since we're an hour late, I've already got the recording going. If y'all want, we can just jump into this shit.
By all means, let's go.
Ricky's dead. He's dead
for this. Let's go.
Let's go.
Okay, for the record, this was your fucking pick, Ricky, so I'm going to go ahead and suggest you wake the fuck up and get into this shit.
No. No. Y'all got to carry me.
Well, I can carry Travis because he's fucking so small, but between your just physical size and that mullet, I'm not sure I can carry you. Well, this is gonna be fucking fun. Wow. What a lively bunch of wow.
I'm here, bitch.
Well, I know, but like welcome to the nightclub. We're all fucking gloom and doom and I don't give a fuck.
Have you not listened to the show?
No, I have. It's like I'm just like hoping for a little bit more like liveliness. It's like this is like
ooh, it's Conan time. I'm here for it, son.
Infidel defilers. They should all drown in lakes of blood. Now they will know why they are afraid of the dark. Now they will learn why they fear the night.